Up next, On Earth writer Ginger Strand talks about the process known as cloud seeding, and we will be joined by Jeff Tilley, director of weather modification at the Desert Research Institute, who will explain how they can help fight in the fight against drought and crop failure. And here's a reminder that we're pickling this month as part of our Food Friday series. If you've never pickled before, we've got great recipes and a video on our show page to get you started. If you already are a pro, show us your skills. We'd love to see the finished product. So join other listeners by posting your pickle picture on Instagram and tagging it Low-Paid Pickles. You can see some of the photos we've already gotten there. This is WMIC, WMIC.org. Find us on Facebook and Twitter, where our handle is at Leonard Lopate.
WNYC receives support from Holy Name Medical Center, recognized among the best hospitals in New Jersey by U.S. News & World Report. More at holyname.org. The Museum of Arts and Design, presenting Loot, Mad About Jewelry, a pop-up exhibition and sale of contemporary studio and art jewelry with proceeds benefiting the museum's exhibition and education programs, now through October 5th, madaboutjewelry.tumblr.com. WNYC is a media partner of Target First Saturdays at the Brooklyn Museum, programs inspired by the theme Viva Brooklyn, with 5 hours of Latino-inspired live music, film, dance, and conversation, open to all Saturday, October 5th. Details at brooklynmuseum.org.
Without our monthly sustaining members, WNYC might sound like this.
Welcome back to the Suggestion Box, where we take your calls on how we can improve this show. Morris from Lenox Hill, what's your suggestion?
You should have a topic one of these days.
Thanks, Morris. Next, we have Diane from Weehawken. What's your suggestion?
Anything other than what you're doing.
These are all great, guys.
Great radio needs you. Become a monthly sustaining member. Go to WNYC.org and click on donate.
Wow, the phone lines are jam-packed.
Breaking Bad has ended, but there's still plenty for fans to talk about. On the next Fresh Air, Terry Gross speaks with two of Breaking Bad's writers and producers, Tom Schnauz and Peter Gould. That's today at 2 on 93.9 FM. Controlling the weather might sound like something out of a sci-fi novel, but believe it or not, cloud seeding, the act of building better, more efficient clouds, is becoming a reality. Scientists like Jeff Tilley of the Desert Research Institute in Nevada think this technology will become more important as climate change increasingly affects our global water resources. And in her On Earth magazine article called Silver Lining Playbook, writer Ginger Strand explores the world of cloud seeding. I'm very pleased to welcome both of them to our show today. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Leonard.
Jeff, how do you get into this field?
How did I get into this field? Well, I am trained as a meteorologist, and part of my research interests have involved clouds and precipitation and exactly how clouds form and maintain themselves and the ways that they precipitate out. And as time has gone on, I've become very interested in the weather modification field, partly because my overall desire to be a meteorologist came from a desire to really help people.
Well, what does your equipment look like?
The world. What's that?
What does your equipment look like?
What does our equipment look like? Our weather modification equipment, it looks like a large green box with a tower extending up from it and has a propane tank next to it. These are ground seeding generators that the enclosure actually keeps the seeding solution and all of our electronics very much protected from the elements, because we put them out in places in the mountain ranges such as the Sierra Nevadas, where they're exposed to quite a lot of harsh weather.
Now, Ginger, I've been hearing about cloud seeding ever since I can remember, and I'm not a kid, but in the 60s and 70s, it always seemed more theoretical than likely. It would be a plane flying over a cloud, dropping a silver iodide, I guess, onto the cloud, and it just died away. Why did it lose momentum?
Well, it's kind of been a process, a back-and-forth process. Seeding clouds with both dry ice and silver iodide was invented at General Electric Laboratories in 1946, and there was immediately a big burst of enthusiasm. The scientists, you know, went on radio, talked to reporters and said that, you know, basically we were going to take control of the climate. We were going to make the desert bloom. We were going to steer hurricanes away. We were going to do all kinds of wonderful things. And it turned out to be a little bit more complex. So there's been a kind of back and forth push and pull between the weather modification skeptics and the weather modification fans ever since.
But you say that weather modification is really a misnomer.
It is. I mean, rain making is really a misnomer to some extent. No one can make rain. What people like Jeff are working on doing is making clouds more efficient, making the rain that's actually coming down, increasing that rain.
Now, Jeff, in the past, we just wait. The clouds just waited until they were ready to rain. How are you prompting them to do it when we want them to do it?
Well, what we do in cloud seeding in terms of making the clouds more efficient is we allow for there to be enough particles. And we call these particles, for rain, we call them condensation nuclei. For snow, we call them ice nuclei. And different types of particles work differently for rain and snow. But one of the problems that exists in a lot of clouds is that there's not really enough of these particles to be able to start the precipitation process and have it work efficiently. What you need in terms of rain in particular, you need to be able to make droplets of water that are large enough so that they can fall to the ground and not evaporate underneath the base of the cloud. Whenever you have clouds that are going through the atmosphere and you see them, they're very dark, they're very full of water, you think it's going to rain, and it doesn't rain. It's usually because there's a lot of water in the cloud, but it's contained in many, many very tiny droplets that are all too small to precipitate.
So are those the clouds that you consider good candidates, or can you seed any cloud?
Well, what we do out here at DRI is we do what's called glaciogenic cloud seeding, and so we're really interested in making it snow in the winter rather than rain in the summer, for the most part.
Why? Snow doesn't help you in a drought, does it?
Oh, absolutely. Actually, snow is more important in most water resource managers' minds than rain, because what happens with snow is that it basically accumulates over the winter season, and that water is effectively stored in the snowpack, and then during the spring snowmelt, it's released in a fashion that it can be channeled either through a river system into reservoirs, into underground water storage areas, the basically artificial aquifers, or even into natural aquifers, and to replenish the supplies that way. If you get a rain shower, often what happens is that you can get heavy rain and it hits in one small spot. It's not in a place necessarily that's close to a river that's going to drain easily into a river, and it's very hard to store. So snow is really, from in a water resource manager's point of view in the western states, which is where we focus most of our efforts currently, really the ideal way to work in terms of helping to mitigate drought.
So it's snowmaking.
Snowmaking, that's right.
Ginger, didn't you look into the safety of silver iodide? What did you find out?
I did. When you look into cloud seeding and weather modification online, for instance, you come across endless conspiracy theories, dark visions of what might be going on. And I felt, you know, that I needed to track this down and see if it was indeed something dangerous. One of the things that you'll see repeated a lot is that silver iodide is considered a hazardous substance by EPA. So I simply called EPA and they said, no, we don't regulate it under the Clean Water Act or the Drinking Water Act.
Wasn't the GE scientist credited with inventing cloud seeding Kurt Vonnegut's brother?
Kurt Vonnegut's older brother, Bernard, yes, was the person who figured out that silver iodide would work to nucleate clouds. He was working with two other scientists at GE at the time.
And then, that was the 40s. We heard it about it again in the 50s, 60s. And nobody could really figure out how to do it. Has the technology improved that much recently?
People generally figured out how to do it early on and have been refining the technique ever since. And to your question earlier about clouds, you can't seed just any cloud. You have to really know what you're doing. You have to seed the right kind of cloud with the right kind of substance from either above or below. There are a lot of different techniques, and you need to kind of know what you're doing in order to get it right. But the Bureau of Reclamation did projects throughout the 70s, and the military actually seeded clouds during the Vietnam War over Laos.
And it worked.
Well, this is one of the difficulties with cloud seeding. You can say, oh, it worked. There were big thunderstorms. And then a skeptic can say, well, there would have been thunderstorms anyway. It's very hard to prove what would have happened.
Now, Jeff, Ginger wrote in her article, even if silver iodide is completely benign, and if the new studies prove that it really works, the idea of modifying the weather still makes people cringe. Why?
Well, in particular, in recent years, the idea of modifying the weather has unfortunately been parlayed in popular media in the most extreme fashion possible. I've seen some of the bad sci-fi movies, and that tends to get people thinking, well, we don't want people doing anything because, well, maybe this could happen. But in the reality, in terms of what we do in cloud seeding, we see it on a relatively small scale, usually the scale of a mountain range, and the target areas are maybe an area 40 miles by 40 miles square. And we're really looking at very precise improvement in the snowpack to improve water resources for a particular basin. And the effects on the environment, one of the things with respect to silver iodide that scares people is that they think it's a very toxic substance. But the compound itself is not an ionized compound. It's a very stable compound. And what you need in nature for something to be hazardous to the environment is for it to be what's called bioavailable, which means it has to be an ion in terms of its compound. And pure silver itself, without being bonded to iodide, it can ionize. And those are the laboratory studies that have been done that have looked at toxic effects on fish with very high concentrations. But not only is silver iodide in the form we use it not a bioavailable substance, but the amount that we use over an entire season, the analogy that we like to use now is imagine one small BB pellet and put that in a volume of water equal to the size of 212 Olympic-sized swimming pools. That's how much silver we're adding to the environment over an entire winter season at any given location.
Now, Ginger, Jeff mentioned Olympic-sized swimming pools. The Chinese scientists made headlines before the 2008 Beijing Olympics when they announced that they could control the weather, keeping rain away from the opening ceremony or making it rain ahead of time to clear the city's pollution. Do you think that weather mod advocates have a PR problem on their hands?
Because the Chinese are doing it? Or
well, first of all, it sounded kind of weird.
Yeah. Well, I think this is the PR problem generally. It sounds kind of weird to modify the weather. The weather is part of the natural world. And, you know, for us to say that we're taking control of it makes a lot of people cringe. On the other hand, we take control of the natural world all the time in everything we do.
Now, we have very little time, but Jeff, we have been hearing a lot about the UN report that determined that climate change has become one of the leading risks to food security due to things like droughts and floods. But is cloud seeding energy efficient? Will it actually help us in the long run, or will it just add to other problems?
In terms of energy efficiency, I would say it's a very energy efficient technology. We use a small amount of propane to burn our cloud seeding solution. And typically the size of our propane tanks we use for a given season is the same that you might find outside any medium-sized house in an area where they use propane for heating, Texas, for example, or other parts of the country.
And, Jeff, we have to leave it there, unfortunately. I'm
okay.
So sorry. Jeff Tilley is Desert Research Institute's Director of Weather Modification, involved in cloud seeding. And Ginger Strand wrote an article called Silver Lining Playbook for the fall 2013 edition of On Earth magazine. Thank you both so much for being on our show. And next time it rains, I'm going to get suspicious.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Leonard.
On tomorrow's Food Friday, Liz Newmark talks about owning one of the city's premier catering companies, and an organic farm, and how to make farm-to-table cooking a reality. And then the story of The Stop. It started as a food bank in Toronto and is now a community center with gardens, a greenhouse, and a farmer's market. We'll get some pickling tips from a seasoned pro. And this week's Please Explain is all about the Farm Bill. We'll find out what programs are affected by the omnibus spending bill, which has been stalled in Congress for over a year. The Leonard LoPage Show is produced by Blakeney Schick, Julia Corcoran, and Jessica Miller. Melissa Egan is the executive producer. Debbie Darcher was at the audio controls. We had help today from Gabrielle Alviero and contributing producer Barbara Kahn. I'm Leonard LoPage, your host. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.